Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that, Lord, that you have filled us with your joy. We thank you for the spirit that was upon our brother, Lord, the spirit of joy, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of compassion. And Lord, even now we pray that you stir up that gift of teaching and preaching in him, that as he brings forth your word today, that we would be challenged, that we would be encouraged, and Lord, that we would be like David, running out to the battle line because there is a cause. Father, bless him and anoint him, let your spirit move sovereignly upon him and through him and upon us. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, pastors. Well, good morning, church. Let me tell you, this day started off on fire. I mean, I woke up this morning, talk about on fire, I was freezing. We had people over last night, and when they left, my wife and I were cleaning up the basement, and you know those little TV trays? Well, I have them sitting next to our furnace. So I had a couple that I had to put away, and unbeknownst to me, when I shoved it in there, I shut the furnace off, and I didn't even know it. So I'm upstairs, and I'm praying before I go to bed. I shut off all the lights. Donna had to sleep downstairs because Nick's kids were over, and, you know, he had to go to work. He works midnights. But I'm laying there in bed, and you know how you just turn over, and you barely wake up, but you're turning over, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's freezing up here. I could have sworn I seen smoke coming out of my mouth. I got my blanket. I got it all the way up to my chin, you know. It's like I was laying flat because I didn't want to expose none of my body, thinking I might get frostbitten. So finally the alarm goes off at 6. I get up and I'm like, oh my God, is it cold in this house? Is it that cold outside? I go downstairs and Donna hears me come down. She goes, honey. I go, what? I go, is it cold in here? She goes, yeah, I'm freezing. She goes, I went to turn up the heat and the register's on 70 and it's only 57 in the house. I'm like, what? I said, I thought it was just cold outside. I'm freezing. So, of course, it was so cold. Pardon me, ladies, but I had to go to the bathroom. I got a chill. I said, I'm going down there right now. And I looked, and I thought I had to clean something to get something started or whatever. And I saw that the switch was off. So I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, that it wasn't broke, right? So I get here. I tell Donna, I'm going to have to leave you at home. I got to get up to church. I got some props I'm going to use today. But before I start into my message, I got to announce my king of props is Ken O'Rourke. Now, brother, I know I didn't call you in advance to ask you if I could even use props. I'm just your humble servant. And I want you to know today that there is no way, shape, or form that I'm trying some kind of coup to be the king of props. Because you're it, brother. Anyone that can get their sons to bring a boulder in here is my man. So I didn't go that far, but I do got some props today. Okay, so anyways, I just wanted to share that, like Pastor Don was saying, this morning I had the honor of teaching the morning class, and I talked to Pastor John last Sunday, and I said, I can see the way God's Holy Spirit is working here. If you go back a couple of weeks, Bob taught on our belief, amen? And I shared that in the morning class about that message just penetrated my heart, because when Bob broke it all down about our belief being the foundation of our very lives as Christians, right? Because we have to believe in God first to even worship or serve a God. We got to believe that there is a God. But Bob stated that that's more of a heart issue than a mind issue, right? Because we got to believe it in our heart that there is a God. And then Pastor John, I didn't know what he was preaching on, he followed up with increasing our faith, right? As we increase our faith, it builds up our belief in the Lord, and it allows us to step out of our comfort zones and be used by the Lord. Amen? And how many times do we know, and I don't even have to say this because you already know, that when God uses you and you step out in faith, what happens? You're built up. You're like, there is a God. I know there's a God. I knew there was a God. And look how he used me. You know, I brought this person to the Lord, or I prayed for this person and they got salvation, or you know, whatever, I laid hands, you know, or the Lord put upon my heart to step out in faith for this issue or that issue, and you see that God works, amen? And then I taught this morning about trusting in God, because when you have the belief and our faith is lifted up, then we begin to trust God to do things of the impossible, amen? We leap out. You know, I think of that time when Peter came out of the boat, right? I mean, can you imagine that? And I'm going back to the days of when I was, Don and I were teaching the senior youth. We used to tell the kids, you know, you either believe this story is true or it's a fable and your faith is phony. Our God is phony. If the story says that the man stepped out of the boat and was walking on water, guess what? The man who stepped out of the boat was walking on water. You know, I think of Alex when Freddie said, "Ma, do you really believe that God parted the Red Sea?" Yes, I believe that God parted the Red Sea. That is our faith. That is our belief that this word is God's word. It's the truth. And the truth will set you free. Amen? And so Alex continues to pray, and Joe, they pray for their kids. I pray for my kids, my wife. And I know we all do, you know. My kids were raised through this church, raised through the church. And none of them are serving. None of them are serving. They don't come through that door, you know. And I can get downtrodden sometimes, and Donna, but you know what? Our faith and our trust will not be shaken, because the Word of God says that my word does not go out void. That one day, I might not see it, but I believe my kids are going to serve God because of His word, because of His truth, because of my belief that our God is real and His word is real and what it says happens. You know, I don't know. I mean, it may take me dying. I don't know. That might bring them to the Lord. If that's what it takes, praise God. I'm willing. Bob, I'm retiring for good, buddy. I ain't got to worry about a check. I'll be in heaven. I don't need a check. By the way, did I tell you that I didn't get a check again? Where's Pastor Keith? What's going on here? I keep getting robbed of my money. But having trust in God, it's coming. a little faith tester there, boy. I was shaking, Esther. I was shaking. I was about to ask my conglomerate, Mr. Ramsey, over there, "Hey, man, you got some money I can borrow, brother?" Esther's going, "No." "Man, sister." She's like, But anyways, you can see how God and the Holy Spirit are working here, because Bob taught on belief. Pastor John talked about increasing our faith. This morning, the Lord had pressed upon my heart to teach in trusting in Him. And today's message was like the epitome of it all. What the Lord put on my heart to teach today is called receiving God's power for His works. Amen? We want to be used by God, don't we? I mean, sometimes it can be scary. I mean, Carmen failed the test today. She didn't climb the ladder and jump off. But that's all right. God loves you. The apostles were weak too. We're all weak at times or another, right? But as we increase our faith, our trust and belief in God, we'll grow stronger. And as we grow stronger, if we are willing and able to step out, we can see God's holy power work through us. Not that it's any glory for us, but it's glory for the Father. You read I think everybody does, but you got the little red text in your Bible. That's Jesus speaking. Every single time that He did a miracle, that He did this or He did that, He gave all the glory to who? His Father. Because it was His Father's power working through Him. He was just that willing, believing, faith-building, trusting man who was the Son of God that trusted His Father. And His Father's power just went through Him and out through Him. And that's how those miracles were done. And what does He say in His Word? Greater things do you do than I have. Do you believe that? It did come out of the Bible. So do you believe that? Greater things we will do. And as I get into this message, you're going to see where the hand of God, because I got stories that some that I witnessed, some that happened right here in this very church. So I know my pastor wouldn't lie to me when he said it happened. It happened. Where God is real and His power is real to do all things. Amen? So, first off, when we talk about God's power, I know for the guys, we think of power. What do we think of? Dan, I know you're going to ask you because I know you're going to lay him off 20 guns. Okay, we're not talking about guns here, all right, Dan? I'll use you at a later teaching. But we're talking about power. So we either think of cars, right? Big Mustang GT or Camaro, something like that. Or we're thinking of the physical power, right? I had Ricardo and Ashley over last night, and Nathan and Sarah, and we were talking about getting into the gym, right? You know, I had some health issues, and so I get all pumped up, right? I'm dieting. I'm got my blood under control, thank God. I'm losing weight, and I get all pumped up, and I tell Donna, you know what? They said I can rejoin the gym, and they're giving me $5 off. I'm going for it. She goes, okay, babe, if you want to be committed. I haven't been there yet. I haven't been there yet. I was telling Ricardo last night, and he said, yeah, Matt and all these guys, they keep getting on me like, come on, you're going to come play racquetball. Come on and work out. Ricardo goes, hey, I'm married, man. I just want to eat. That's all I want to do. He says, I was in the gym all my life. I don't want to go there now. He says, but these guys are relentless. He said, it's gotten so bad that Joel Van Riper, is he in here? Joel Van Riper said he got tired of asking Ricardo, so he went to the gym and told them to call him and ask him to rejoin again. They're thinking of new ways. They're relentless. I just thought that was so funny. I said, yeah, I was all gung-ho. Ricardo goes, yeah, you been back? I go, nope. I said, my foot's hurting, my back's hurting, my shoulder's hurting. I told my wife, if I don't get in that gym by January, I quit again. But anyways, when we think of power, I'm thinking of the physical power, amen? And I'm going to mention a couple of people in the Bible where God's physical power was bestowed on them, amen? The first one was Samson, and the second one was David. And I know Roger had to leave. Darn it. I'd love to get him with the David. Me and Roger go back and forth about David. But Samson's life is in the book of Judges. From the time of his birth in chapter 13 until the time of his death in chapter 16. Now, I know when we read this Bible and we can sit back and ponder on it, right? We read the story, like the parting of the Red Sea, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar looks from a distance and he sees four people in there, when he only put three in there. You know, you sit there and you read that and you just sit back and go, wow, God's awesome. But I know for me, sometimes I like to have visuals. I think as people, when we see something, it's harder to forget that, amen? I can attest to that because of school. I can't remember nothing what I remembered in school. That was so many years ago. But when you see something, it seems like that stays with you forever, amen? So, one of my props, Prop King, is I got Samson here. Samson! This is probably what Samson looked like. Miguel, be quiet. Don't get jealous. You were my second choice. Yes, you. Bob, quit looking at his legs. He's a prop. Okay, so we read about Samson's life in the book of Judges, chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Samson was on his way to the town of Timnah, together with his father and mother. And as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly, a young lion. A young lion came running toward him, and the Spirit of the Lord
came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have tore a young goat. Did you see that? Sebastian, that wasn't the Detroit Lions. That was a young lion. So Samson kills the lion. Doesn't tell his mom and dad about it, and they go on to Timnah. He gets, engaged, and now we move back to the chapter 14, verse 19. He's at the wedding feast, and he's probably drinking, which he's not supposed to be doing. I mean, come on, they're partying for 7 days. I might have one at a wedding that lasts 2 hours. Can you imagine 7 days? But we see that Samson, he has 30 guests there, 30 guys, and he makes a bet with them. He gives them a riddle, and he tells them, if you can solve the riddle by the end of the 7 days, I'll give you each a garment of clothes. But if you can't, you got to give me a garment of clothes. So we're here to the last day of the feast. They can't get it. What they do is they go to Samson's fiance and they tell her, if you don't tell us the riddle, we're going to kill you and your father. So she goes crying to Samson, just like my wife cries to me. There's something on sale, she got to have it. It's something, biblical, I don't know. I got to have this purse. It's biblical. But anyways, so Samson tells her the riddle. She in turn tells the guys, and so now Samson loses the bet. So it says here, he heads off to the town of Ashkelon. And it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those he had explained the riddle. So we see that again, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Now, I'm not saying that we're supposed to get the Spirit of the Lord and go out and beat up people, okay? And steal their clothes. But the man was, he was let down by his fiance. He had to pay the debt. So, we move along again now. Another time when the Spirit of God came upon Samson. After he had did some bad things, killed some people, he went and hid in a cave. The Philistines marched on the town of Judah. The men there were afraid that the Philistines were going to kill him. They said, hand us over Samson, we'll leave you alone. Now, do you think these guys were nervous? I mean, Samson was a judge in the land at the time. He was called apart, set apart at birth. Do you think they didn't know that this was God's anointed? Did one or two high priests go over there to talk some sense into the man? No. They took 3,000 guys, man. I was thinking, 3,000 guys? These guys, I think, were afraid. But Samson agrees to turn himself over to the Philistines as long as they promise not to kill him when he allowed them to bind him. They tied him up with brand new ropes. So, in Judges 15, verse 14 to 15, it says, as he approached Lehi, the Philistines saw him. And when they saw him, they ran towards him shouting. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and his bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. 1,000 men. I mean, can you imagine that? 1,000 men? And I was talking to Donna, and I said, these were Philistine soldiers. I mean, this isn't like the movie Captain America, when he made it into the army and he weighed like 100 pounds. No, these were Philistine soldiers. These guys were built. That's all they did. That was their career. That was their life. Ricardo served and some other guys here served. You served 3 years, 6 years, whatever. Can you imagine if that was your life, that you were a soldier for the rest of your life? These guys knew how to fight. They were pretty strong, pretty much in shape, pretty athletic. The spears and stuff they held were heavy, so you had to be strong. He killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. He didn't even have a sword. That's the only weapon he had. But what was it? It was the power of God that allowed him to do that. I mean, think about it. They had spears, probably chariots. I mean, they had all kinds of weaponry, and not one guy touched them. Now, we come to the conclusion of Samson. You know the story about he gets with Delilah, he gets tricked, he gets his hair cut, because that was the source of his strength through God. He had said his hair was never to see a razor. He gets his hair cut, the Philistines come, they get him, they tie him up, they gouge his eyes out. Wow. They gouge his eyes out. So he's blind. They put him in prison. They have him on the millstone, you know, he's walking with this big wheel. And they have him there for years, years. Well, after a while, guess what? His hair grew back. Right? And I was reading in my footnotes in the study Bible, it says, because he was called a Nazarite. He was set apart for the Lord. He wasn't supposed to drink any unfermented drinks. He wasn't supposed to be with any pagan women. And the razor was never supposed to touch his hair. He wasn't supposed to eat anything unclean. The part I missed in the story about when he killed the lion, he comes back and there was a swarm of bees in the carcass. And because he was hungry, he reached in there and scooped up the honey and ate it. Well, see, he just defiled himself. Because at the time, a lion was an unclean animal. So he ate from the lion. So that was one thing. Then he got with the Philistine woman. That was another thing. Of course, I know he was drinking. That was another thing. And then he got his hair cut. That was another thing. But I also read in the book of Judges that constantly the land of Israel was defying God. They were worshiping Baal and all the Philistine and Canaanites' false gods. And God still had grace and mercy on his people by sending these judges at that time. So we come down where they bring Samson out in this big arena. It's the big temple of Dagon. That was their god, Dagon. And it says, if you ever seen the movie, it's an old movie. It had Victor Mature in it. It's a very good movie. And it shows them, there's all these people like up there in that balcony. They're on this roof of the temple. And below it were these pillars. So they get Samson. He asked the guy that dragged him out there, and he was performing for them, doing all these stupid things. And they had him in chains. And Samson tells him to put him between the pillars of the temple. Because he's tired. And so he rests his hands on the pillars. And in Judges 16, 28 to 30, it says here, he prays to God. And he says, in verse 28, it says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Let's hear it for Sammy. Thank you, Sammy. So, by the way, they said when all was said and done, he wound up killing over 4,000 Philistines. One man, over 4,000. That's the power of God. I mean, even though Samson was sinning against the Lord, he thought of the people. You know what I mean? He wasn't going to turn his back on his people. And Samson had the rough road, but at the end, he got restored. God allowed him. I also read there in those study notes that when a Nazarite defiled himself against God, he had to do two things. He had to repent to the Lord, and he had to offer a young lamb as an atonement sacrifice. But see, because of his life, he was lallygagging around doing his own thing. He never got the opportunity to offer the lamb, but instead, he offered himself. I thought that was awesome. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, it's a shame that he did what he did, but in the end, he got restored to God. And even though he lost his life, I believe he repented to God and was made whole. You know what I'm saying? So it's never too late when we screw up to go back to the Lord, because his love endures forever. Amen? So, now on to my boy, David. Aaron Rodgers gone. David's one of my favorites. He was also given power and strength. In 1 Samuel 16:13, and this is when God tells Samuel to go out and anoint the next king of Israel, because Saul's ruling, but God's favor has left Saul. So it says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, because he went through all the brothers, and God said, nope, these ain't the ones. And so he looks at Jesse and he says, don't you have any more sons? And he goes, well, I got David. You know, he was the runt of the litter out there tending sheep. So he calls him and he's the one. And it says, after he anoints him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. In power. And see, that's how I believe for us. We might not get anointed with oil. I mean, I got some if you want it. But I believe it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And then having that belief, faith, and trust in God. And His power will be with you. Amen? So David, we know the story, right? He goes up to give his brother some food. They're at the battle. Goliath is there making fun of all God's armies. Giant, right? Nobody's fighting him. Not even the king. Not even Saul, who was a head and shoulders above everybody else. He should have been the one really to fight the guy, right? He's the leader. But even he was scared. Why? Because he probably felt that God's presence had left him. See, he had no belief, no hope, no faith, no trust. He was scared. But not David. See? Because I believe David, he could feel the presence of God on him. And then I don't like reading that word because I start adding ad-libbing. Like, you punk, just who do you think you know what I mean? I mean, I could just see David talking to Goliath like this. Like, who do you think you are to defile the armies of the living God? You know, a boy, a young boy. He's standing up to this guy. Why? Because his belief, his faith, his trust in God. He believed his word. That he said, you're going to be anointed. You're going to be the next king of Israel. So it didn't matter what he faced. As long as he had those virtues in the Lord, what can mere man do to me? Nothing. God didn't lie to me. He said, I'm going to be the next king. So I'm not going to die to this giant. I'm not going to die to this man. That's the kind of faith we need to have. We need to believe what God has told us. That it's going to come to pass. So he sees Saul, and Saul's like, hey, you're just a kid. This guy's been a warrior all his life. And then David gives an account of his fighting abilities. Right here in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 to 36, it says, but David said to Saul, your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Then, when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. What faith! But see, like I was saying, as we step out in faith, right? He stepped out in faith, he killed a lion. He stepped out in faith, he killed a bear. He was told by the prophet at the time, you're anointed to be the next king of Israel. He trusted God by his word. And that gave him the ability to face anything, anything, even that giant. That's the kind of faith we got to have, church. We got to believe, is God truthful in what he tells us? And then we got to hold on to that. We got to grip that and run with it. Because that's what he's called us to do. So we know how he fights Goliath, right? 1 Samuel 17, 48 and 50, it says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, ironically, Pastor Don said this scripture up here after he prayed for me, and it's in my notes there, Pastor. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. He wasn't all timid, like, oh, here he comes. He wasn't hiding behind a couple of soldiers. Wait till I get there. He ran to meet him. I mean, ran to meet that giant coming at him with that big shield and that helmet and that spear. He ran to meet his adversary. Why? Because I believe the power of God was already on him. He probably couldn't contain himself. He just ran after him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. Lucky shot, right? No, I doubt it. I think Pastor John did a teaching a long time ago about shepherds, man. They were good with those things, man. I mean, you know, we have those old ones where we go like that, we're kind of accurate. They had that leather strap and man, they could probably knock a can off, you know, off a pedestal 20 yards probably. They were that good. So he hits Goliath in the forehead, and this was ironic, and this is in the Word of God. It says, the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. The stone sank into his forehead. Now, I'm going to tell you something, man. Pastor Don, you're going to love this one. I used to coach Little League Baseball, right? And we'd get there early. Now, mind you, I'm behind the backstop. All you guys know what a backstop is, right? I'm about three seats up, but I'm behind the backstop. They're out there practicing, grounders, guys out there, my other coaches hitting balls. The outfielders are throwing pop-ups to each other, right? Well, my center fielder, he throws one to home plate, like, hey, let me try and throw a guy out at the plate, way out from center field. He throws the ball. I'm sitting there talking to another coach, and I hear the word, look out! Well, you know, a dummy like me, instead of going like this, I go, what? Pow! I got it right between the eyes. Oh, my God, all the kids ran off the field. They're like, coach, coach, are you all right? I'm like, yeah. Dude, pastor, I had the stripes from the ball like this on my forehead. It was like a little blister, you know, where it popped me. And the kid was so scared. Like, he was the last one in. He's like, coach, I go, man, that was a heck of a throw, man. How in the world did you hit me behind the backstop? I couldn't believe it. But I mean, just being hit with a hard ball from that bar hurt like the dickens. Like, I saw that little white flash, like when you get knocked out. I was like, whoa. Can you imagine? This said that stone sank into his forehead. David was just a boy. I don't believe he had that kind of power. You know, I've been hit by a rock before too. You know, it hurts. I might get a little cut. It swells up. But for the stone to sink in your forehead, do you know how much force is behind that? Oh, Dan, we're not going to ask you about any guns, all right, buddy? Talk about stones here, all right? That's got to be the power of God. I believe as David was swinging that and he had the power going through him, that was God's hand that went, wow, hit that giant right between the eyes, and it hit him with such force that it sank in his forehead, and he was dead like that. And you know the rest of the story. Like, they're all clanging their shields. They're like, eh, huh? I mean, it went dead silent when he went down on his face. And then, not to be too grotesque, but David had to go over there. He chops his head off with his own sword. And when he chopped that head off, those Philistines dropped everything they owned, and they ran for their lives, you know? Like I was teaching this morning, who was their trust in? Their trust was in Goliath, their champion. David's trust was in God, the true God. That's why he defeated him. That's why he went out there with no fears, no worries, because the power of God was in him. And that's the way we need to work in our lives. No doubt, no fear, knowing that the power of God is with us wherever we go here at church to accomplish anything, not that we want, but what God wants. This is what he's telling us to do. We just need to be obedient and do it. Even though in our eyes and our mind we can't fathom that, God is unfathomable. He can do the impossible. We can't, but he can. Amen? Another form of God's power can come in the way of healing. I wanted to touch on this. Matthew 10:1 says, he called his... This is they're talking about Jesus. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. God wants to use us as well because he has called us into his service. He wants us to have that faith and that power flowing through us to lay hands. Can God do it sovereignly? Yes, he can do anything. But what happens when he uses us to do it? It builds our faith. It builds our trust. It builds our belief. God uses us to build us, not him. He doesn't need nobody. He's God. But we're his children. Don't we want our children to be the best that they can be? Don't we try and put everything good within us into our kids so they'll even be better than us? We're always wanting to do better, better, better. That's what God is doing. He just wants to use us because he can do it, but he wants to use you so you can be built up through it. Psalms 103, 2 through 3. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." And I just want to say right now, come on, props, props. Props. Don't worry, Kenny. I'm almost done. Turn around. I love these guys with all my heart. They were cancer stricken. But through this church's prayers and fasting and belief and trust and faith. Amen. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. That is the power of God, church. Charlie, your dad's salvation. That's the power of God, brother. The power of God. My daughter-in-law, Trina, cancer-free. The power of God. The power of God. She's having some issues now, but she's cancer-free. And that's all she cares about. She's cancer-free. James 5, 14 to 16. "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and that power comes from God." It's nothing that we do. It's nothing that we say. And even in the words we are saying, where's it coming from? The Word of God. It's God's Word. But we have to be careful, church, because sometimes instead of confessing, we can tend to hold on to our sins. I was talking about that this morning, about trusting in God, and so many times we want to be in control. So many times we know better than God knows about our life. This is my life. I know what I'm doing. Really? And I talked about we have to let go of the grip. My wife looked it up for me in the biblical Bible, and it says to lay your mind to lay hold of something. And that's where the devil works, doesn't he? He works in our mind. He gets us to grip that fear, to grip that doubt, that anger, that unforgiveness. Oh, he did that, or she said that. You know what? Grow up. Grow up. I mean, if we're children of God, you know, the Bible says iron's going to sharpen iron. Do you want a dull sword or do you want a sharp sword? A sword that's going to divide, right? It's got to be sharp. We got to be sharp. We're here, whether you like it or not, to get each other sharp. And sometimes that includes confrontation. But you know, Pastor Don always told me, it takes a bigger man to admit you're wrong than to blame something else. That's why God said the truth will set you free. Why be held in bondage? You'd be held in bondage. So many people have quit coming to this church because they've held on to the sin. They've held on to the unforgiveness. They're walking away from the will of God. And when you're in sin, God can't use you. You're unusable. Because you won't get it. You know what I'm saying? We have to be pure, flowing in His Spirit. Like that scripture up there, you know, flowing down in the river. We got to be flowing with the Holy Spirit to be used. That's why when the disciples, after Jesus came back from the dead and showed them that He was the true Son of God, He was the true Messiah, there was no stopping them. They could do anything because they know that this was the true God. Are we any different? We believe that this is God. We believe that this is His Word. We've seen Him do miracles in our life. What is there to doubt? Why would we walk away? This is where He has us. This is where we move from. This is where we move out to. You know, I used to love the kids coming over to my house, you know. Man, we had the cops called on us so many times. There's gangs over there. Kids hanging out on the porch, all kinds of kids. I think there's a drug house or something like that. No, they used to come over and hang out because they love coming over and hang out. Because they were amongst themselves, you know. They got there and they would share things with each other and they'd pray for each other. You know, and I used to tell them one of our golden rules. If you ain't got nothing good to say, then don't say nothing at all. Because they can get that out in the world. But you guys want to come here together and hang out and have a cookout and do whatever you want to do, fine. But be uplifting to one another because you need that. You know, we give, we give, we give. We need to be restored. Amen? Psalms 32 says, O Lord my God, I called you for help and you healed me. We just got to call out to Him. He's there. He will do it. We have to believe that. The last form of God's power that I have time to share today is that I'm going to talk about this morning is His power to restore. And I know I'm on the right track here because, you know me, I pray. That's why I tell Pastor, I got to pray for a week, man, before I come up with something because I want to make sure that I make sure that I make sure that I make sure that this is God. And so when I was bringing in the props this morning, I got here early in the morning to sneak that line in here. And unfortunately, Mike Hill, the early bird, and Taylor, where's Taylor at? Man, I know you got up that early, girl. I know Cody don't. But I'm trying to sneak this line, and it's all in this blanket. I had it in this blanket right here, all covered up. Nothing was showing. And I come over here. I come up here real fast, and I put it here. Taylor doesn't say a word. She goes in there to get music or something, and I go back there to put Sammy's clothes back there, and she goes, that was a lion, wasn't it? What the heck? How did she do that? How in the world did she guess that was a lion? I go, the tail was hanging out, wasn't it? She goes, no. I just thought it was a lion. I'm like, wow. That's the Spirit of God right there. That's the Spirit of God right there. You know? Thanks, Taylor, by the way. That made me feel good that I think I'm on the right track here. And then the word I had this morning about restoration, and Alex is over there, you know, give me your heart, give me your heart. And then Candace starts with, give me your life, give me your life. I said, all right, I'm going up there. Well, I'm glad I did, though. Be obedient to God, amen? If not for you, do it for somebody else. That word was for me, but it could have been for somebody else too. You got to share that with your family. So anyways, unfortunately, here and abroad, some of our brothers and sisters in the Lord have left their church families and even God Himself. Whether they were hurt or disappointed in God, they have fallen away. And trust me, they're miserable. We need to keep them in our prayers for God's power of restoration to begin the healing and restore them to where they need to be. So if you know of somebody that's walked away or something tragic has happened, a lot of times when tragic things happen, we tend to blame God. No. Hey, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. I truly believe that. We're all going to die. You know? But that don't mean God ain't real. I mean, Jesus knew his time was short. I mean, the guy was like 12 years old. He's already preaching in the synagogues. And he told his parents, you should have known I'm about my father's business. That's what we need to do. Get about our father's business. Because nothing's, tomorrow's not guaranteed us. Always live today like it's your last, because you never know. The Lord might say, it's time for you to come home, my child. Whoop. You know? 1 Peter 5:10 says, and the God of grace, of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The Lord will restore us. That's all we need to do is ask. God, I'm at my wit's end. Like I felt this morning, Pastor. They're shoveling that snow. I did my house twice already. Nick keeps working doubles. I'm like, I'm going to kill this guy. You know? And then I had to drag that ladder upstairs. And then thank God for Betty. Like, I'm all wore out. And she goes, is this going to stay here? It's in my way. I'm like, Betty, I'm sorry. I need it for a prop. I promise you, I'll get it out of here. I'm up there sweating. And then when I was done with the teaching, I had it laying on the ground. Betty, I love you. Betty comes up. Is that going to stay there? No, Betty, I'm moving it right now. Thank God for Darren Clinton, man. He carried that thing for me. I said, I'm tired, man. Can you take that back now? Kenny, I didn't know props were so involved, brother. I need more wisdom. See, you got your sons to carry that boulder in here. My dummy, I would have brought it myself. Probably threw it up my back. But sometimes it can be a little personal, like marriages, which are sacred to God. And yet, I have seen God's power move in these marriages and totally restore them to the point where they are stronger now than they were before. Why? Because of the power of God. Because they both came together in one accord, and the Bible says the two shall become one. A cord of three strands is hard to be broken because Christ is in the center. When those marriages got that right, there's no stopping them now. And finally, there is the restoration of life itself. Including Jesus, there are 11... Pastor, I didn't even know this. Including Jesus, there are 11 cases listed in the Bible where God's power of restoration brought people back from death. We know of Jesus' resurrection as well as Lazarus and Jairus' daughter. That's probably all I knew, brother. But did you know it happened to one of our own? Now, I want you to know before the pastors that I went out on a limb here. I called Mark Hogan all the way in Florida. And I said, Mark, I'm going to use your wife's story in church Sunday because I'm giving the message. And I don't want to be preaching no blasphemy because I knew the pastors were there. I wanted to get this right. So Mark gave me the lowdown. Word for word, what happened that day. So he's at home with his wife. They live in Wyandotte. Sandy, you guys know Sandy? And she told Mark she wasn't feeling good. So he rushes her to Wyandotte Hospital. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump. Mark said he wasn't even there like 10 minutes, and she coded. Just coded. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, she just coded. So the nurse there just started doing CPR, and they rushed her in the back. Well, all the while, Pastor John, Pastor Don, and Mark were just praying. They just started praying like crazy, like Alex, hallelujah, praise God. And he said, all in all, she coded 4 times. Once is bad enough. I mean, the chances of coming back are like 50-50. 4 times she coded. He said they shocked her about 8 or 10 times. You know, clear, 8 or 10 times. And then he said they were shouting at the doctor that was working on her. Just call it. Just call it. She kept getting that flat line. Now Mark told me, he says, as an EMT, I can tell you right now, They don't work on you that long. They worked on her for 40 minutes. 40 minutes. And I don't think they did it just because Mark was a fireman. Mark said, no. He said, you want to know why that doctor kept going and he wouldn't stop? I said, no, why? He goes, he says, I did not want to call it because I kept hearing a voice saying, don't stop. Don't stop. That was the power of God. Now, I didn't ask him, was that doctor a Christian or was he a believer? I didn't ask him that. But does it matter? I mean, God talked through a donkey. I'm sure the donkey wasn't saved. If he is, I'm sorry, brother. This was your calling. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I believe it was the power of the Holy Spirit and God's power fighting his mind, right? I mean, I can't be, you know, prejudiced and say none of the doctors are saved, but they're mainly medical, aren't they? They're science, medical. His being was probably saying, I'm getting tired, man, just call it. But the power of God superseded that and said, don't stop. Don't stop. Danny's here today for it. Amen? The power of God when we do what he wants us to do. There was an incident where this family was attending our church. They had a little daughter, the Bates, and she was inside doing dishes or whatever. The kid got out in the yard and got in the pool. She drowned. And I mean, she literally drowned. I talked to the mom, and she said she was blue. Blue. Face down. Blue. Called the paramedics, called the pastors, everybody in the church, prayer team, intercessors. Called all the intercessors. Everybody just started praying, right? The paramedics got there, working on her. Not looking good. Of course, they won't pronounce her dead there. Put her in the ambulance, take her to Oakwood. Working on her, working on her, working on her. Nothing. Get her into the emergency room. Never stop praying. We never stop praying. Power of God. She woke up. Color came back. Well, then the parents are thinking, oh my gosh. Anyone knows, the brain can't go that far without oxygen. You can get brain damage. Brain damage like that. Gone for 10 minutes. No brain activity. God. Normal. Nothing. The power of God. Now those happen right here in this church. That's why I cannot not believe. I've seen too many things. Real quick, one more story. Mark Casabon, another person in this church. It's a Saturday afternoon. He's sleeping, taking a nap. His son's outside playing with the neighbor's kid. I know, Ray. I see you looking at the watch. I just want to get this last point out. Talking about that physical strength, his neighbor's cutting down a tree. And it's pretty good size. He didn't cut it right. It fell on him. Fell on him, literally. Now, let me tell you something. I ain't no woodsman. But I cut a tree in my backyard where the branch was... I was cutting a branch off, and it was maybe that big around. And I'm, like a dummy, I'm on top of a picnic table, on top of a stepladder, holding a chainsaw one end, like a dummy. The neighbors are probably saying, watch this idiot, watch this idiot. Man, when I cut through that branch, Fred, that thing felt like it weighed 1,000 pounds. I went, wow! And I went, and that was a branch that big. This was a tree like this. Fell on this man. So his boy comes running over and says, Dad, Mr. So-and-so. Mark jumps up. He runs over there. Now, Mark was decent size. He runs over there, and, you know, he grabs a tree, and he's trying. He can't even budge it. He can't even budge it. Try it again. He can't. The guy's just moaning and groaning. So it's kind of like Samson. God, help me. Give me your power. the tree up. Didn't roll it. He picked it up. The other neighbor pulled him out, and he put the tree down. They rushed him to the hospital. The guy lived. I mean, he was all jacked up, spleen, liver, this and that, but he lived. They put it in the paper. That paper, I forget the name of it. That News Herald. The News Herald. It was in the News Herald. Strange phenomenon. Okay. We call that the power of God. Strange phenomenon. Really? So it was like 2 days later, Mark goes over there. Yeah, do that. Can't move it. The power of God. Amen. Amen. All right, let me close with this. Can I have the prayer team come up, please? In closing, I just want to end with this scripture. Because I know sometimes life can get rough. Sometimes we kind of put God on the shelf, or we don't read like we should. We don't spend time with Him like He yearns for us to spend time with Him or pray with Him. I know how it can get. I'm guilty too. But when those times happen, and they will happen, because we're not perfect, read this scripture. I'm going to read this scripture to you. I'm going to close with this. Psalms 51, 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Amen. I encourage you today, please come up and get prayer. Get a renewed touch from God. I really believe His Spirit was speaking to us as a body today about restoration. We need another touch from God. There's a lot coming up. The holidays, family, friends, unsaved, saved. We need that restoration. We need to be that light on top of the tree. Signifies the Holy Spirit in my eyes. I got an angel on top of my tree. We need to be that angel for people. Amen. Let's close. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, first of all, for the opportunity to be up here today, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that it touched us all today, Father God. I pray, Father, that we would take this word, that we would run with it, Lord God, that our beliefs, our faith, our trust, our obedience would just rise to the occasion, Lord God, and that we would be used with your holy power, Father, your spiritual power, Father God, to touch others, to be a beacon of light and hope to those who are less fortunate or those that don't know you or those that have fallen away from you, Lord God. We pray for restoration for ourselves and for our family and friends, Lord God. We thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Coffee and donuts upstairs. Don't forget to come and get prayer.